roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goat. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Race and Sportsbook, you're listening to another episode of the MMA Junkie Radio Show. I am your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the devious and dastardly Goes. Goes, happy Monday and President's Day.
I don't know, happy President's Day. Yeah, I don't remember how that works now, but is it, there's no more Washington and Lincoln, right?
If I'm not mistaken, Lincoln's the 14th and Washington's the 21st. So right smack in the middle is President's Day. And actually, when I used to go to school, sometimes you'd get both off.
Yeah.
But I think as school officials kind of like figured out, hey, can we do more of a spring break or more of a winter break? You know, let's just do a few of the lesser, like sometimes we'd get a Columbus Day, sometimes we wouldn't. I don't know. I went to a Catholic school, so it was a little bit different. Sometimes there was just certain Catholic days, aside from Christmas and Easter, that were given to you. But I think that's what they wanted to do, was just shorten it. So they said President's Day to honor both of them. And that's that.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So what we're going to do today is go over the UFC fight night that took place in Rio Rancho with Corey Anderson and Jan Blachowicz in their rematch, along with a few other fighters. Well, actually, quite a few fighters. It was 13 matchups. Not going to go over all of them. I mean, I'll give the results, but as usually what happens on these fight nights, they're just not as deep and sexy as the pay-per-views, but still lots to cover here. Remember the light heavyweight division. It's got a big spotlight on it because the world champion fought within the timeline of these guys, Anderson and Blachowicz. So we'll see how all this fits in, give the other results, go over some news nuggets. Buckle up, folks. Here we go.
In 2008, a former D1 football star pulled off a robbery so daring and so strange that it went viral worldwide. It was a perfect crime story. There was just one problem. It wasn't the real story of what happened. The Sneak is a new, serialized true crime podcast from For the Win and USA Today Sports. You can subscribe now on Apple Podcasts or get it anywhere you get podcasts on Tuesday, January 14th.
Well, Goes, things can change at the drop of a dime, man. Going into this fight, everybody kept talking about Jones and Reyes and the rematch. However, if Corey Anderson were to do something special and add to that 4-fight win streak, there might be some pressure on Reyes. Not much was said about Blachowicz, and guess what? Jan Blachowicz spoiled the party. He KO'd Corey Anderson rather quickly in round one. He's now even with Corey Anderson. They fought before, so now it's 1-1. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is this is on the heels of John Jones' title defense over Dominic Reyes a week ago. And guess it was right in the middle of that arena down in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. John Jones, who doesn't make too many appearances at MMA events. I don't remember him kind of being in that position where he's face to face with somebody he could be fighting. But wow. First of all, congrats to Blachowicz. Hell of a punch he landed. And a follow up fist. Hammer fist. The fight was stopped. No arguments here. And now all of a sudden you got the possibility of Blachowicz versus Jones. Blachowicz is now on a run where he's won 7 of his last 8 goes. On top of that, he's won 3 in a row. talk about this.
I think that the first thing people are going to point to is, was Corey Anderson looking past John Jones? And I mean, I think it's easy to just kind of point things like that out. But really, in that sense, like, Corey Anderson's never really struck me as that type of dude to not take things seriously. I think the guy just got caught. He really did. And Jan's on a bit of a run. That's just kind of the scenario that played out. And I thought Blachowicz afterwards did everything perfectly. Like, he didn't waste 1 second to run over to where John Jones was. He knew exactly where he was and kind of got in his face to a certain extent, you know, with the cage in between. But I thought it was awesome what he did, because he did the most that he could do in the sense of giving the UFC no other choice, right? When you're a fighter, you have to present that argument.
Oh, yeah,
you
we kept
no
saying,
other choice
you
got to go with
special.
Me.
For one, and, stay away from decisions, yeah.
And if you look at John Jones's face, the dude was, it seemed like that's what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's never really shown any interest in Corey Anderson. And I don't blame him. You know, Corey's probably not the most exciting fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And his personality-wise, he's just a little calm, you know. But Blachowicz did everything that John Jones has been wanting, and that's a dance partner. Whether it's in the cage or out of the cage, John needs that. And Jan did that. So everything probably worked out in the best-case scenario for John Jones. But now when you look at the scenario of everything that's left over, it's a tricky situation for the UFC.
Yeah, for sure, because the Reyes fight is still, I mean, it's not like it erases what happened, you know, with the Reyes fight in Houston 1 week earlier. That was a great fight. That's still a fight that's been argued all week. You know, Reyes arguably won the fight on many people's scorecards, and when I say that, I mean fighters, coaches, media, fans. A lot of them scored it for Jones. A lot of them scored it for Reyes. I heard more Reyes throughout the week. Doesn't erase the result again. Jones won. And how lucky that the next week was in the city where John Jones makes his home. Because, again, John doesn't really go to too many of these fights, I guess. He even said it himself. But how could he not? He lives there, so he was there. He was there front row. And Blachowicz did it, man. Corey Anderson didn't look past him. I'll tell you why. Because when Corey Anderson had won 3 in a row, he was already campaigning for a fight versus John Jones. And then they said, nope, it's not going to be you. It's going to be Reyes. And guess what? You got Johnny Walker. Well, he got past Johnny Walker. You know what I mean? And Johnny Walker's arguably as dangerous or maybe even more dangerous than Blachowicz. At least he had shown that. You know, Walker's a guy that had been out there destroying people. And Corey Anderson got the job done there. So, no, he didn't look past them. I think that's just something that a lot of people will say, you know. And it's just the way sports plays out. It's just an angle. It's something that 'll be said in any sport for the next 100 years, for the next 1,000 years, however long the earth is in existence. That saying will be said. But, you know, like I said, if that was the case, I think he would have fell to Johnny Walker, honestly, because that's a hell of a matchup. And he actually came through, knocked him out, man, after he had been doing decisions versus Cummins, a tough wrestler. Teixeira, I mean, one of the toughest light heavyweights in the last 10 years. Ilia Laatifi, same thing, been punching that clock for a long time. Then Johnny Walker? Nah, man. Anderson had a good run. But like I said, Anderson, he'll bounce back. He's already tweeted and said the right things. But in the meantime, it's now a two-horse race. Do you give it to Blachowicz? Do you give it to Reyes? What do you do, Matchmaker Goes?
Well, I want to ask you this. Do you believe that what happened was the best-case scenario for the UFC? Because I think
yes,
so.
I think... because now they have options. So, yeah. First of all, what I would do is...
there would have been pushback if we didn't give it to Corey Anderson, right? If he would have won that fight, especially in spectacular fashion, there could have been a little pushback.
A little bit.
Now that's gone. Now it's just a matter of decision. What's behind door number one, door number two, right?
Yeah. So the first thing what we don't know is injuries. I'll give you an example. Valentina Shevchenko blasted Caitlin Chookagian, but for some reason, she's out for the next 6 months. Now, we got to get clarification on what it is. The Texas Commission was very vague, but if you would have told me, hey, man, who do you think is going to fight next or soon, some of the big-name fighters that have just recently fought, who do you think can turn it around? I would have said Valentina Shevchenko. She just loves the fight. She made quick work of Chookagian, but we got to figure that out. So we got to figure out Reyes' situation, Blachowicz's situation. And then here's another thing we all don't know. Who's on a contract? Not a dispute, but who's basically at the end of a contract or looking to improve their contract? They may be on their last fight and they're looking to improve, and certain persons being stubborn or not. That's the kind of stuff that we don't know. And that's why you see Dana White come out with bizarre statements when he does, because usually it could be part of a contract situation. Hey, we're looking at Blachowicz, that's the way it's looking to me. I was impressed. And that might be his way of saying, hey, Reyes, last week when you fought, and you rematched, and then you stormed into my office and said, give me an extra mil. Well, guess what? I got option, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's his way of subliminally talking to fighters, talking to a division, figuring it out. They don't have any upcoming fights in Europe. I would suggest maybe Jones going to Blachowicz's home country and defending, there or something like that. But John Jones is a pay-per-view guy. A pay-per-view in Poland would, they're 10 hours ahead. We know that doesn't work out. So, I don't know. I'm looking at all these different outliers just to see what's what and what's happening. There's no pay-per-views even scheduled for, we'll just say, Europe or the UK, which is, again, 8 hours ahead. So I don't know, Goz. I don't know what they're going to do. I think the Reyes fight, there's two ways to go about it. It's hot. Do it. Okay, boom. Blachowicz just fights somebody else. Or you tell Reyes, you let it marinate, and Reyes fights somebody. Blachowicz. And then all of a sudden, if they can pull it off and Jones can beat Blachowicz and Reyes can beat fill in the blank, now all of a sudden, especially on the same card, now you've built that rematch up. Mm-hmm. However, don't forget about Thiago Santos. He even had a closer fight versus John Jones than Blachowicz did. He had a split decision, whereas Dominic Reyes was unanimous, even though a lot of people felt Dominic Reyes fought. I was even thinking, what if you said, hey, Reyes, hey, Santos, you guys fight. You both had close fights for John Jones. You guys figure it out while John Jones fights Blachowicz. But again, on the same card. Now, that would be interesting.
I mean, it would be super interesting. I guess if I'm looking at it from the UFC's point, you don't want to get rid of either one of those, right? Because those are two rematches that you want to get to.
But you also want the Santos rematch, remember? Don't forget about that.
That's what I'm saying. You don't want to match up Reyes and Santos because you want both of those guys to get to John Jones, right? I'm just saying from the UFC
standpoint. Well, yeah, but John Jones also has, so he has the Blachowicz angle. He has those two others. So there's three fighters right there. Plus, him and Izzy starting to warm up, man. Him and Izzy is starting to warm up.
But it kind of went in a different direction this
morning. And
then
him versus fill in the blank, whether it's a Miocic or you never know with Cormier or whatever angle in the heavyweights, he might have that card to play. I think John Jones, another thing goes, to be fair, he's 32. He's had some close fights. But what if he realizes, holy shit, I'm winding down here. Like, I'm not what I was. I don't know. I mean, well, I don't think he wants to fight Santos, Blachowicz, and Reyes. I think he'll fight probably one or two of them. And then he's got to get that super fight in that stadium here in Las Vegas.
If I'm the UFC, the first thing I'm thinking of is the casual fan would want to see Reyes. And they would wonder, why wasn't that matchup made? If you're the UFC, you're thinking, man, this makes a lot of sense. But Dominic Reyes is a young fighter still. Do we want to maybe possibly set him up for a situation where he has two losses against a champion? Then what the hell do we do with him, right? So I think they may be thinking something like that. So what I think they're going to do is I think they'll give him Blachowicz. And then Reyes, rather than match him up with someone, I think they'll just say, you got next. And give him a little bit of time. If I'm Reyes, honestly, I don't know that that's the worst scenario either. I would want to put some mileage on my opponent a little bit. work out some things that I need to work out to get better, to be able to beat John Jones. As long as I know that I'm the guy that's next, I think I would actually be okay with that. Santos, coming back from a major injury like that, being away from the cage for so long, maybe it would behoove him to get one fight in before he gets thrown back into that mix as well. You know, I don't know if coming off of that, if that's the most, the best scenario to fight a guy like John Jones either.
We still got another guy to worry about, Anthony Smith. Anthony Smith is fighting Glover Teixeira, and if one of them two does something spectacular, they're both in the running. I think Teixeira has won three in a row, if I'm not mistaken. Although if you dig into it, hasn't been like three in a row over highly ranked names certainly means a lot more than just three in a row. That's for sure.
So who do you officially have?
In that fight?
No, who do you have next for John Jones?
Man, I would let the Reyes fight marinate one set of fights, I think. I just think, I don't think you can get away with lining all three of them up. Not all of them are going to sit there and rest. I think they all just got to figure out, hey, Santos, had you come out of that healthy, you might have gotten the rematch. Oh, you're hurt? Okay. Hey, Reyes, had something spectacular happened the following week, you would have gotten the rematch. Oh, well, you know what I mean? And so I think two of those three, Blachowicz, Reyes, and Santos, they're going to have to fight. And then Jones will get the other one. Jones has already beaten both Teixeira and Smith. Smith had a nice bounce back. He had a nice streak. Then he lost to Jones. But then he had a nice bounce back win over Alex Gustafsson. That was the key to Anthony Smith still being relevant right away, because you take those losses and then sometimes it hurts you a little bit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's definitely not the case here with Anthony Smith. And, of course, Teixeira slowly, like I said, worked his way back as well. So we'll see, man. But the light heavyweight. Who do I give it to?
Yeah.
Yes, Blachowicz.
Blachowicz, all right.
I think Blachowicz, and then I deal with Reyes. I think I got a little bit of time with Reyes. I think I strike with Blachowicz. And, you know, the UFC is a little bit lucky, and I know this part's going to be a little bit of a stretch. Poland is a smaller country, per se, when you compare it to size, you know, like Russia or the amount of history that Brazil or Canada or who, you know, maybe Canada just can't be put in the same sentence as Brazil, but when it comes to MMA and the champions, you know, previous champions. However, Poland has a good back following as a country of its size, with, for example, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, you know, and there's been a lot of, you know, previous Polish fighters as well. It wouldn't be the end of the world to have a world champion from Poland. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure the UFC makes a lot more money if John Jones stays champ. But it's not like the guys from, like, for example, Alexander Rekic, I think his name is. He's from Austria, the guy that recently lost. He's from Austria. And, you know, Austria doesn't have really much of a following or anything, whereas Poland does, man. Poland has KSW. Poland has Joanna Jędrzejczyk, Karolina Kowalkiewicz, Thomas Dzierżoniak back in the day. You know, there's a lot of Polish fighters that have some history. So who knows, man? Maybe this could be a big deal just for that particular country. I mean, it's probably the size of, like, Ireland. If you take a quick look at the map or something, mm-hmm. probably like the size of Ireland and the Philippines, and they have rich combat sports, you know, history. So it's not as dire as you think when you're like, oh my God, what if this guy becomes champ?
What would you think if I feel like the rematch with Reyes, I feel like you got to do that at Staples Center. I think that would be legit. One thing that I think John Jones doesn't have that maybe some of the other champs have is, you're right, he traveling to Poland, you know, that Rocky Four scenario, whatever. He doesn't have very many of those, right? I think maybe something like that would help legacy.
It would, but the problem is the time difference.
Well, no, not Poland. I'm just saying in general, yeah. Of like,
well,
gone to Brazil.
I was thinking Brazil. If they decided to go with Santos,
Yeah.
If they really promise Santos, you get next when you get healthy, that's then they could do it on the same card as, for example, Cejudo and Aldo. Cejudo and Aldo, no disrespect to both guys. Both guys are amazing athletes. You know, Aldo's one of the greatest lower weight class fighters and champions ever. He's not deserving of the next title shot, but I've already bitched about that, and the fight's apparently made. And Triple C, of course, he has definitely made his mark in these last 2 years. So, okay, you're giving us that matchup. You know what? That matchup could use another title fight, in my opinion. If you're going Izzy versus
Romero
and Weili Zhang versus Joanna, it's for a reason. You know what I mean? That maybe that card, Izzy's still not there yet as a headliner, so you back it up with another title fight. Well, guess what? I don't think Cejudo's there with – I think – he's not there, you know what I mean? So what if you throw Jones versus fill in the blank, in this case I guess Santos or one of the other two?
I think it has to be
a now you can there. Do the pay-per-view, because it's only about, depending on the time difference, summer and winter, it's about a 3 to 6 hour paper difference, and they've pulled that off. Plus Brazil's a culture where if you tell them the main event's going off at 2 a.m they're like, cool, you know what I mean? It's not a problem. So that's one option if you want to take Jones international somewhere. Because you're right, I had been looking at his record. L.A., Vegas, L.A., you know, mostly Vegas, actually. Throwing a Baltimore. I think he fought Teixeira or somebody in Baltimore. But
he needs that
in Toronto. Win. Yeah. So
I'm just thinking the whole Kobe Bryant angle, where Reyes is from.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think I'd love LA. Staples would be dope.
Yeah, and L.A. usually gets a visit. L.A. or Anaheim gets a visit, when they do, in the August-September region. So we shall see what happens. So far, what we got is Vegas in March. April gets Brooklyn. May, they're going to Sao Paulo. June is the one we don't know. And that one, by the way, is Alexander Volkanovski versus Max Holloway, the rematch. That also needs some spicing up. You can't headline with that. Volkanovski just doesn't have the name. He's got an amazing record. He just had an amazing fight versus Holloway. He's had an amazing run, but he's not a pay-per-view star. You can't sell pay-per-views with just him. So that could use some spicing up. Where they're going there, I don't know. And then we get to July, which is International Fight Week, except that one's already got Kamaru Usman and Jorge Masvidal. I think you're okay there, although you could probably use more. But surprisingly, not surprisingly, but I was shocked to see just how popular Jorge Masvidal is. He's not the champ, but still, there might be just sufficient pull with those two alone.
Yeah.
And the animosity.
And it just kind of seems like that's looking like the UFC's new formula, which is very boxing-esque, unfortunately.
You know what I liked about this chat is none of it was forced. We didn't have to like dig deep or anything, and that's the state of the light heavyweight division got exciting again. For a while there, it really tailed off, and now there's just options. Yeah, I'm digging it. All right, that fight went down. We'll see what the UFC decides. Another one that went down was Diego Sanchez versus Michelle Paella. That one ended in round three, DQ, illegal knee. And, of course, I mean, it wouldn't be a UFC if there wasn't any controversy. And here you go.
Yeah, but this one was like pride rules.
Michelle Paella was pretty much waxing Diego Sanchez. He was on his way to a W. He was throwing knees while he was standing and damaging Diego Sanchez. He just got a little carried away when he kneed Diego Sanchez, and Diego Sanchez was a downed opponent. I believe his knee and butt were down. When you look at the slow motion, it was illegal. There's no other way to call it but intentional. He was trying to throw the knee, and he was trying to throw the knee at his head. And he caught him and opened him up, a big gash over his forehead, probably concussed him, probably concussed him even prior to that strike. And I was arguing this with listener Showtime of Tennessee, who thought it should have went to a DQ or no contest. Brother, I go, you're way off. A, it was illegal and intentional, all right? That's where you start off. For one, if it was accidental, then the opportunities of no contest comes up. But once you deem it, and it can also go to a judge's scorecard. But when it's not, and it's flat out illegal, if the guy can't continue, it's a DQ. Mm-hmm. All right. And the guy that got struck, he wins. The other guy loses. It was illegal and intentional. And I think it was Jason Herzog. Right?
I believe
he,
so, yeah.
He established that right away. Here's where the controversy comes. As the doctor came in and examined the cut, he looked like he would be okay with allowing the fight to continue as long as the fighter was okay to continue. When Diego Sanchez was then spoken to, he asked a few questions as he, I think, was trying to figure out probably what his options were. But now let's stop at that right there. Have you ever known Diego Sanchez goes to be, I guess, have no heart and look for the easy way out?
No. If you even step in that cage at that level, I don't really think you have much of any of that, let alone Diego Sanchez.
You know, yeah, backing away and from there's him. Probably, you can think of, if I go, hey, give me 10 names off the top of your head of people that have quoted that say they would die in the octagon. He's up there. You know, yeah. What I mean? It's just that when he went through his series of questions, I think that's when people were like, oh, he's trying to figure out if by bowing out, he gets the win, or if he can get any clarification, if he still has to fight to get the win. I think he was just trying to figure out what to do. Now, that said, he's also the one, folks, don't forget, who just got kneed in the head illegally. Mm-hmm. You know, and you might not have all your wits about you. You know, if the referee would have said, hey, by the way, what city are we in? There's a chance Diego might say, Vegas? I mean, we don't know. You know what I mean? Because that's what it means to be concussed. Or your little daughter's in the audience. What's her name? He may not know. All right? It sounded like with the questions he was asking that he knew kind of what was going on. But still, how many times do you talk about those situations where you're throwing counter hooks in a defense mode because you have an idea that you're in a fight and you're defending yourself, but you really, really don't know what happened? There's fighters that can't tell you how they got hurt or anything. Like, what hit me, you know, or whatever. They know they're standing in an octagon. They can answer that question, but they don't know what hit them. So, folks, that train wreck he was just in, you know, that's another thing. Plus, they made reference to that cut and how blood could trickle down his eye. That's an actually good point, and I'll tell you why.
That's what Diego said.
Yeah, because he's thinking, like, all right, you know, I mean, I don't have time to tell you everything he's probably thinking, you know, without making this a 2-hour show, but I'm trying to basically condense it. He's probably thinking, all right, where are my huevos at? My people are here. I got to finish this through. No one calls Diego Sanchez a pussy, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, you got a cut where the blood might trickle in your eye for the last 2 minutes that you're in there with this monster.
Mm-hmm. Why should I give him an advantage when
exactly. He did something illegal. So even if part of him is trying to figure out advantage Diego, advantage Pichet, advantage UFC, advantage fans, there's nothing wrong with thinking about yourself and figuring out, you know, what you can do. I'll compare it to soccer or the NFL when you're just winding that clock. You know what I mean? Because the clock is your ally. Now, that's usually when you're ahead. That's mm-hmm. a little bit of a different story. But still, I don't fault the guy. He asked a couple questions. He got out of there. But in the end, folks, do not forget about the main point here. It was an illegal knee. If Diego Sanchez could have continued, that would have been a bonus for us fans, I guess, that are fiending for more action. But it was an illegal knee, folks, and the DQ was deserved.
What didn't help that whole situation was the visual of it, the way it played out. What we're used to is when somebody gets hit in the head illegally like that, they usually fall, you know, to their knees, or they fall over and they're holding their head or something. Diego didn't really have any of that. In fact, it almost seemed like the referee had to tell him, you got hit in the head. You know, it just seemed like part of the fight to him. So then he stood up pretty straight. You know, he wasn't really wobbly. I think fans just aren't used to seeing that type of reaction. And I think that's why they kind of reacted that way in that situation, because he just wasn't the traditional, what the hell just happened type reaction. Almost like, you know, Brock Weaver kind of had a little bit of that type of reaction. Diego's just kind of popped up, and then from there he's formulating what's going on. It just looked different. Had he gotten up and he was wobbly, I think nobody, even the haters, would have had any problem with that.
Right.
It's just the way it looked.
Right, yeah. And I'm telling you, man, the concussion thing is really, really a serious thing. You know, there's others just flat out saying, hey, he played to his advantage, get off his nuts. I'm not going to say that. I'm just trying to give you all the different options of what could have taken place there. But Michel Pereira would not have had any problems if he just continued to fight, coasted the last 2 minutes, that fight would have been his. But he made a huge, huge mistake that you can't do in mixed martial arts when he threw that illegal knee. So it's on him, man. He looked good, though. That's for sure. Brock Weaver, you mentioned him. He won over Kazula Vargas because he got Vargas got disqualified as well. That was two fights earlier.
Gamblers were probably pretty pissed on this card.
Mm-hmm.
Gamblers were mm-hmm. probably pretty pissed.
Yeah. Now, that fight was only in the first round. Who knows how that one still plays out. But, yeah. I like Brock Weaver. I remember we saw him over there at the Dana White Contender Series.
Mm-hmm. And Montana. His buddy.
Montana De La Rosa defeated Mara Romero Barella. Unanimous decision there. Ray Borg defeated Rogerio Bontarin. Lando Venata defeated Yancy Medeiros. Daniel Rodriguez upset Tim Means. Huge upset there. Not just because Means was a local fighter, but the odds, man. Means was a pretty big favorite. John Dodson defeated Nathaniel Wood. Scott Holtzman defeated Jim Miller. Devin Clark defeated Daquan Townsend. Mirab Davishvili defeated Casey Kenny. Macy Chisson defeated Shanna Young. And Rolian Pava defeated Mark De La Rosa, the husband of Montana De La Rosa. The first time a husband and wife fought on the same card in the UFC and maybe even in MMA. I'm not that type of a historian, but I don't think I've heard of that one too often. Maybe the Cyborgs or something. Who knows? Lots of decisions. I didn't come out of this one like I did in Houston Ghost feeling like, oh, yeah. You remember we were going like 9, 8.5 or something mm-hmm. like this? I mean, granted, that's a pay-per-view with a little bit more talent on it, but sometimes these fight nights can surprise you. A lot of decisions, a lot of controversy, a lot of grinding type of fights, you know, these 30-27s, 30-26s, so it's not even
pace
like...
was a little off.
Yeah, it's not even like there was splits or anything like that. You know,
it's hard to blame that one on the UFC, though. A lot of that stuff was out of their control. It was just a... meh. It was just one of those.
Yeah, when it's on paper and it's the results, then sometimes you can go, well, UFC, what'd you think? You know, I mean, what were you expecting? It was on paper. But a lot of times the UFC gets lucky because it can be on paper and then they deliver and we're like, see, don't judge the fights until they happen. Mm-hmm. Another saying. But in this case, and Albuquerque's a fight town, man.
Oh, yeah.
I thought they could have spruced this fight card up just a little bit more. I've seen some sick fight night cards, man, where there's, and I'll tell you how I know. I say this every week because when we're done here, I got to finish my rankings that I turn into the guys. And I'm only going to talk about Blachowicz and Anderson. Montana De La Rosa, I'll just say she got a look, but she's probably not getting in. Ray Borg got to figure out, you know, what's going on there with the flyweight division. John Dodson has been in the bantamweights before. Does he have enough to get back in? Davishvili's going to roll. Macy Chisson. That's it. There's only like 6-7 fighters to consider, and most of them are down in the honorable mention range, and they're maybe not going to get in. Not like other times, man. Going back to either, I think it was Vegas in 2019 December or New York before that. Dude, there was like 17, 20 fighters that had to be considered.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the ones that were just ranked. You still got to look at the ones that may have won and they were knocking at the door. Folks, that right there recaps UFC in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. By the way, if you're wondering, 6,449. We're in attendance. The gate was almost 600,000. Let's do some news nuggets next. All right, there's not a ton of news out there, but you know me. I like me some BKFC, and that's not something that was just added to Kentucky Fried Chicken's menu. It's Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. They're on edition number 10. It's fun, it's exciting, it's raw, it's carnal, it's It's violent, you know, and there's a sprinkle of MMA in it. Hector Lombard at the top of the bill defeated David Mundell. Unanimous decision there. James Ehlers defeated Caleb Harris. Remember Ehlers goes from the Cage Warrior days, yeah. And Luis Palomino, one half of the duo that gave us some great fights back in the WSOF days. And I'm talking about his dance partner was Justin Gagey. He also fought and got himself a win. So a nice sprinkle of MMA guys in this. Some decisions there. TKOs earlier, though, in the card. So a little bit of what everybody's looking at. Looking for Gary Tonin is now out of his grappling match versus Dustin Poirier. And I know this is going to sound mean, but good. I don't want Poirier in it, Goose.
I don't either.
Just I want him back in MMA. You know what I mean? He can do this when he's retired or something. I don't know. But it's a cut over Tonin's eyelid. And guess what? Tonin's been campaigning for a title shot down at one. So, you know, like I say, this affects a lot of people. Scott Holtzman wants to be a part of the BMF. It's a little too soon for you.
A little early.
Yeah, like relax there a little bit. I think that's more for the people that have put in some time and just, you know, they're part of that BMF life. I'll give you an example of someone who could cut the line. Someone like a Mike Perry, you know, if you got that type of history, man, I've done some time.
Well,
controversies, suspensions, escorted out of clubs.
You got to have that background or something.
Yeah, you got to have a little bit of that, and you got to have some notoriety, and you got to have, you know, the fans got to rally behind you. You put something out like that, you want to see a series of retweets from your army, your legion of fans that follows you. I like Hot Sauce. I'd rather see him concentrate on MMA. If he ever gets to that point, okay. But then I read that, and I was like, no, I'm good right now. Dominic Reyes, of course, he's thinking the worst case scenario could have occurred to him. Did you see his reaction on Twitter? He wrote duck, duck, goose. I think he's trying to figure out. I think he knows that he may not be the goose at this point.
His goose might be cooked.
I thought that was a kind of creative. Then backstage, they found some audio of Diego Sanchez's corner. It was a little bit bizarre. Fabia is this, the coach's name. He's no longer with Jackson Wink. His name is Joshua Fabia. He was telling him recovery breaths, V-drill. You know, I mean, maybe these are like code names or something like that, but it's not what we're usually hearing. If it gets tight, it gets sticky, take him to the ground. I mean, he was saying things to Diego Sanchez that I don't even know if Diego Sanchez was captivating. And frankly, I don't know if the advice would have worked. I mean, yeah, I think we wanted the fight to get to the ground, but it sounded bizarre, didn't it?
Very bizarre. It almost sounded like Diego was talking to Diego. It was the weirdest thing ever, but I don't know. They fighter coach, their relationship's so private, and who knows if that all that actually translated to Diego. The one thing that you, regardless of how weird it sounded, there just wasn't very, very much technical advice in any of it. And I think that's the part that people had problems with.
And lastly, the Israel Adesanya camp keeps saying they're going to skip Jones and go after the heavyweight, be it Miocic or whoever. And it's an interesting take, man, that they've come up with, almost like saying, Jones, you're too scared to go to heavyweight, so we're going to do it, while at the same time evading Jones, you know what I mean? And I think John Jones knows, hey man, these dance partners, you know, he wasn't too fired up about Reyes goes before the Reyes fight, then tons of respect. I'm sure it'd be the same with Bohovic. He wouldn't be that fired up, you know, because at the gate it's not as big of a payday. But then when you got the other half that's supposed to possibly meet up with you someday going, nah, I'm kind of over you, I'm looking at another weight class, that's got to hit the ego a little bit.
Maybe a little, but to me, it's a little crazy. I mean, right now, the heavyweight division's fun. It's great. It doesn't need this. And Israel Adesanya, if anything, like, that would be fun for him to jump into the light heavyweight division, right? That division's kind of popping. I just don't, as a coach, I would think why are we going to risk our fighter? You know, when he's young, he's doing good things right now. Just be dominant where you're at. I don't know that we necessarily need
He hasn't even had his first title defense.
No, like all this cracks me up. But I mean, it's funny. Good because it's in the news.
Is he keeping him popping?
But
he's undefeated. He's never tasted defeat.
And you see how this guy looks like Thunder Lips and Rocky though at heavyweight. Like maybe. I don't know if that's a good idea.
But man, if John Jones is only going to strike, this guy's dangerous.
Yeah,
as you've seen, and his wrestling doesn't seem to be what it once was. You know, guys are their takedown defense is a lot better.
When have you seen John fight like a dummy?
But Reyes has a wrestling background, even though he was a stand up fighter in this last fight, and in most of his career, he does have a wrestling background, so he had to fall back on some of that. Whereas Izzy only has wrestling training, not that background that some of these other guys we have, where you have to rep after rep after rep after rep. You know, that's hard to duplicate. And I lied. There is one other thing. Jared Cannonier is out of his fight versus Darren Till. Should Darren Till have gotten the clearance via Donald Trump on the visa issues? And I'm not kidding, folks. He was asking for help from Donald Trump to get cleared. He says, I'm healthy, and he could fight Cannonier at UFC 248. And I guess what they were trying to do in the best case scenario was that fight happened with Cannonier being the backup if something happened to Romero or Israel Adesanya. Not just from health reasons, but Romero has had problems making weight. Now you don't have that insurance because I think Cannonier was just going to train, be one of those guys that trains and be ready to fight, you know, in case something happened to Romero, despite not having an opponent. And now Cannonier tore his pectoral, so he's just flat out. Luckily, they have another title fight. But again, you know. Please, Romero, make weight, man. We're already giving you the pass. You've lost 3 of 4 and 2 in a row. Don't fuck this up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that card, I think, still needs a little something.
It does. I agree. All right. We got to get out of here, folks. Check out our video franchises of the Spinning Backlick, the Off Guard series, Rankings Report. We're going to be working on those today and tomorrow. And follow us on Twitter at MMA Junkie George for myself, at The Goes, THEGOZE for Goes, and at MMA Junkie Radio for the show. We appreciate your support over all these years, over 3,000, and I think we're like 3,026 or something like that, Goes. Shows banked. Pretty proud of that. Closing in on 13 years. 11 of those years at Mandalay Bay. Not bad, not bad. Let's get out of here, though. Folks, go out there and be a champion.